Right, my name is really Magdalena Descalzo Pou. Then I married somebody called Victor Risso, so now I'm called Mrs. Risso, right? So, yes, I was born in Gibraltar. As far as I know, my parents, well, both my parents, they were Gibraltarians, grandparents, great-grandparents, no Spanish connection anywhere or from any other country like Malta or anything like that. So, and now we can go into to the war. Now, when the war broke out, we were evacuated. But because my grandfather, that was Charles Thomas Poe, he had been one of the first four men in Gibraltar to be a city councillor from the first, and that is here in the Gibraltar Heritage, its history. And because of that, when we were evacuated, he decided that we would go with the evacuation, but privately. So we all left together. Now, one of his brothers had gone to live in Casablanca in his youth, so we had a contact in Casablanca. As soon as we arrived in Casablanca, we didn't go with the group of Gibraltarians being managed by some few men from Gibraltar. We were met by this cousin, taken to the Majestic Hotel in Casablanca for a few days, and after that, they decided to find accommodation for us in a place called Roche Noir, which is just outside Casablanca. We had two flats there. We lived very happily there for a year. Then during that time, something happened in politics. France fell or something like that. And all the Gibraltarians suddenly were brought back to Gibraltar. But my grandfather suffered a stroke that night. And the doctor said to my mother, don't move him. Being Gibraltarians, we keep together as a family, so my mother never thought of coming back and leaving him behind. We all stayed behind. My grandmother was with us as well. And my mother did go to the Gibraltarian group that was supposed to be managing this to ask for help, and they ignored her. They all took off, got back to Gibraltar. So we stayed in Casablanca for a year, give or take a few weeks, and then he was advised to leave Casablanca. We should really not be there. So we traveled to Tangiers. Again, there was a family member in Tangiers, another cousin who had come from Gibraltar straight to Tangiers, and she found us accommodation in a hotel called Le Consulat, which was under British, not British rule, but a company that owned the Minsa and the Villa de France. So we started living there for 3 years. As I say, my memories of the war, great luxury, fantastic. Tangiers was international, full of embassies. We were invited to all these embassies. A holiday, a fantastic holiday. And that was my memories of the war. Now, coming back to Gibraltar, when my grandfather died in Tangiers, but he was brought back to Gibraltar. The uncles came and collected him, whatever. I was young then. They used to keep children away from all this. And then we came back to Gibraltar, and my first memory from the ferry that crosses from Tangier was looking down at the wharf and seeing men in motorbikes and helmets. And I thought, who are they? My father said, well, we're the army. We went to live to our home in Gibraltar, Giro's Passage, and...
When was this? Was this after the war?
Just when the door had finished and we all came back, yes.
Yes.
When we came back to
Gibraltar.
When
you came back, yeah, okay.
So we came back, and I remember finding Gibraltar a horrible place. Horrible, dark, horrible, not like Tangiers at all. And we went home, perhaps we had something to eat, and then I remember saying to my father, shall we go out now to a cafeteria, you know, for the evening sort of? He said, oh no, Gibraltar was full of drunken sailors. The main street was a sea. And my impression of Gibraltar was horrible. I hated it after having lived in Tangier so well. Anyway, so and then after that came the schooling. I had never gone to school. I had private tuition.
Now?
11, give or take. Never gone to school, had private tuition in Casablanca and in Tangier, but never gone to school. So when they started reorganizing in Gibraltar the schooling, I was sent to the Line Wall School like everybody else, and we were put sort of in stages by ages. And then they tried to assess us who knew more. Obviously, people who had been in England could speak English. I couldn't speak a word of English. But eventually, you know, I went from one class to another until they decided where I should be. And I was very lucky that after only 1 year there, we were sent to the Loreto Convent, because the Loreto Convent was then asked by the government, as far as I know, to take in whoever they sent. I had 4 years at the Loreto Convent, excellent teaching nuns, excellent, and in those 4 years, they brought us through to the last Cambridge, which I did. I got the credit in English language, French and history. I've got the papers there, and as I say, I take my hat off to them, because really, had it not been for that dedication, I don't think we would have, or I would not have got through those 4 years quite well, really. And that's as far as the war goes. After that, I got a job in Gibraltar. In fact, I got a very, first I had a little job with some commission agents called ATIAS, remember them. Then I worked for an ophthalmologist, a Dr. Cass, who was quite famous in Gibraltar, this Dr. Cass. And I remember typing for her a very important a document about trachoma, because she was going to take this to Canada. That was very interesting. And then after that, I went to work for Nessels, the Swiss firm. And that was my in fact, I think in Gibraltar, not a lot of women had a very good paid job. Most of the girls went for teaching. And I worked for Nessels until we got married. Well, we got married in Gibraltar. Our son was born in Gibraltar. I had a very good life in Gibraltar. And then Victor wanted to come and live in England, because when the frontier closed down, he used to run a restaurant, and then things became difficult from the point of view of the people helping, working for him. And he got it into his head to come and live in England. So I had to follow him. Robin was a year old by then, and that's why I'm here.
Well, that's a very good potted history, so thank you.
But we're not
going,
at all. Not,
but I'm going to go back now, and we're going to go into a bit more detail.
Yes,
in some
and if you want more details about my grandfather, because I don't know whether you want me to hear this. I donated this photograph which my mother gave me. I'll show it to you in a minute. I first found, when we went to the Gibraltar Heritage meeting, like the one you went, they sold the journal.
Yeah.
I'm then looking through it, and I thought, that was my grandfather.
Oh, yes.
The first city council.
So you pronounce that Poe?
Poe, it's Poe. P-O-U, Poe.
Yeah, Poe.
That was my grandfather.
Right, amazing.
And then, years afterwards, in this other one, here was the first election in Gibraltar with all the details of all the, I mean, in a very small scale compared
but fantastic.
Of all the one that took part, and even the votes, I think it's fascinating.
That is fascinating.
So when I found...
What year would that be then?
In 1921.
Right.
So when I found this, then this Clive Fillerson from
The Gibraltar Museum.
He came to the Warwick, one of the Meet to the Warwick the seminar. And I approached him and I said, look, I said, I have a photograph which my mother gave me about my grandfather with all these gentlemen. Would the museum be interested in having it? He said he would. So I wrote to them, and that's my grandfather.
Oh, wow.
Those are the first 4 Gibraltarians who were city councillors.
Yes.
And these other 4 were also Gibraltarians. Now, that was the workers' union. And those others were other sort of... And these were the 2 British representatives then, the Army and the Navy. There was no Air Force at the time. That was my grandfather.
So this is 1920s?
1921.
Yeah. And what was your grandfather's work? What did he do?
He was an accountant. A very clever gentleman, yes. Very clever. And he decided to go into politics with this. Now, they were the workers' union, and this belonged... Well, it's all in there. So I wrote to Geraldine, and I've got the letter here. I wrote to her. And I explained where I had found all this information, were they interested in this. And, of course, they wanted the original, which I sent them. So they have the original. What I would like to know now, if they have done anything with it, because Gibraltar Museum is quite famous about sometimes not doing anything about it. So that's it should be in the Gibraltar Museum, could be in the archives. They could have. Clive said to me that they were going to open a section about the first city council. And these are the documents they sent me. I don't know whether they're interested in looking at them. But when I donated, I signed all the official papers, sort of. That's the letter I sent to her, to Geraldine. It's a bit...
Yes.
And these are the papers that I signed when I donated the photo to the museum.
So that looks like a form I'm going to give you, an object entry form, yeah. So you basically they know then that you've given it to them.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Because museums have problems when they don't know who actually owns something.
Oh, no, that was very, very clear. In fact, I spoke to them beforehand.
That's fine, yes.
They didn't really do anything, well, after that conversation, but then after that I...
Well, I'm sure it's in the archives.
It should be. I haven't been to Gibraltar.
How long ago was that?
In the 2008.
Oh, right, 2008, okay, yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, that's, in a nutshell, I mean, whilst we were in Tangiers, I remember one night, that's the only unpleasant thing that happened there. My father used to visit us, of course, and my uncles, because the cruise crossed over. The ferry that used to come from Gibraltar and also from Algeciras, a bomb exploded on the wharf in Tangiers, and the Arabs blamed it on the English ship. And then that night, a mob of Arabs decided to stone the three hotels, the Consular, where I live, the Villa de France, and the Minsa, which is still there. And I remember my mother, we heard this noise, and my mother getting both of my sister and myself, we had missiles then, and pushing us under the bed. And my uncle, who had come in on that ferry, allegedly the one who had the bomb, or perhaps not, he sort of held the door, the knob like that, this hotel had at the entrance a beautiful bar and like a beautiful sort of dance hall, which was only used in the winter, not in the summer. And they came in and smashed everything up. We could hear the smashing of it. But then from there they passed on to the other hotel. So that was the only thing. But because I mentioned that to somebody at the seminar, is because our Prime Minister now, Picardo, unveiled a plaque in the Gibraltar, you know, the, where the parliament is.
I haven't been yet.
No, a long time ago. He unveiled a... Well, he's only been in service, well, in as a prem for a year. He unveiled a plaque to the people who died in that famous thing in Tangiers. And I thought, I was there. I was actually there when that happened.
So just explain it to me again. So it was Arabs stoning.
Yes.
Who were they trying to get at? Was it the English?
The English, yes. Anything that was under, because the Minsa had belonged to the Scottish, the Buttes. So it was under, not British rule, but under management. And they, anything that was British like that, they decided to do something, well, you know, like they think. You know, and because they said that the bomb had arrived in the ferry from Gibraltar. I think to this day nobody knows where the bomb had arrived. And a couple of Arabs died and a couple of people died there. So that's the only unpleasant part. Apart from that, a very, very happy memories of the war. So going back to Gibraltar then.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Tangiers. You've given me an idea. Yeah. So you were living in a hotel.
Yes, yes.
And it was you and your... Just say who was there again.
My mother. Well, my sister. My little brother died in Casablanca. There was a little brother. He died in Casablanca. I was very sad. My mother, my sister, my grandmother on my father's side, my grandfather and his second wife. We were all living there.
And what sort of accommodation did you have?
Excellent, because the manager there, my grandfather, arranged with them that we were going to be there for an uncertain period. They gave us all the room we wanted within. And my grandfather had a lovely suite at the top, and then we had downstairs, where the gardens were, again another lovely suite in the hotel. And it was fantastic. It was living in luxury.
So who was paying for
My grandfather. Now, my grandfather never took a penny from the Gibraltar government or their son. He paid because he was a very wealthy man and very well-known man. We never, never... the Gibraltar... Whoever organized the evacuation... I know it was the British who told the Gibraltarians to get out. But whoever organized it did not pay us a penny. In any form or way. No, never, never. Everything was by him. And that's why we said in Casablanca, because apparently after a year there, the money that they were sending was not legal, really. Who are these people receiving? You know, so he was advised by the people he knew, his accountants and that, to get out of Casablanca.
Were there, because you had sort of broken out by yourselves, were there other Gibraltarians there?
Yes, very few, and the very few that were there were the ones that remained in Gibraltar till the very last, for several reasons, for whatever reason, Now, when you say who lived with us in Casablanca, now in Casablanca, an aunt of mine lived as well, and she had a baby there. My cousin, who lives in Desbara now, who was at the, she had a baby there on the 1st of January. That was my aunt, my grandfather's son's daughter-in-law. They lived there. Now, they came to Casablanca with her, but they went to live in some apartments in the Boulevard Pasteur, which was called then. They lived there again, but separate from us. We were in the hotel. Now, she was financed by her husband, who was my uncle. But for us, my father did not pay anything. It was my grandfather who took care of all that, this grandfather. Yeah.
So your father was back in Gibraltar?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And what was his work? What was he doing?
He used to work at the city council, yes, somewhere in the city council.
But unlike other evacuees, he could come and visit you?
Yes, we were lucky. They used to come and visit us, yes. I said we were very, very lucky.